Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Joe O Show.
It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
You're listening to the Joe Ostrowski Show, nights on 670 The Score.
Sometimes you got the show all planned out, news happens, and you have to adjust. So that's what we're going to do here tonight. I'll be here till 8:45, so we won't be able to carry the entire Monday Night Football game, so we not hear it here on 670 The Score, because we go to Bulls-Kings pregame with Rick Camp coming up at 8:45. A lot I want to get into. I have some takeaways from Thursday's Bears game, where they sit with the rest of the NFL, and what we saw yesterday, it's just... The Bears are so in the middle. They are so stuck in the middle, at least for 2019. We'll talk about where they are moving forward. Minnesota, Seattle tonight. It's big for Bears fans. It is. You'll be rooting for Russell Wilson tonight with all the tiebreakers between the Bears and Vikings. So that will be fascinating. Again, that thing kicks off at about 7:20. But we've got some news involving the Cubs. Just hopping in your car. My name is Joe Ostrowski, executive producer Chris Dickens, Brandon Orlovsky running the board tonight. Press release just sent out by the Cubs. Six arbitration eligible players have been tendered 2020 contracts. Infielders Javier Baez and Chris Bryant, outfielders Albert Elmora and Kyle Schwarber, catcher Wilson Contreras, and left-handed pitcher Kyle Ryan. Overall, a total of 25 players from the Cubs' 40-man roster were tendered 2020 contracts today. The six arbitration-eligible players listed above and 19 players not yet eligible for arbitration. Infielder Addison Russell has been non-tendered. He's not coming back. They would have offered him a deal. It would have been a price tag of $5.1 million. And here's a statement from Theo Epstein, grabbing some of the quotes from Mark Gonzalez's Twitter account. He said the decision to non-tender Russell was simply because the role we expected him to play for the 2020 Cubs was inconsistent with how he would have been treated in the salary arbitration process. In the year since we decided to tender Addison a contract last November, he has lived up to his promise to put in the important self-improvement work necessary off the field and has shown growth as a person, as a partner, as a parent, and as a citizen. We hope and believe that Addison's work and growth will continue, and we have offered our continued support of him and his family, including his ex-wife, Melissa. So there's the news. Addison Russell will not be back. And that was the big question. With today's deadline, which is less than an hour away for a lot of the other teams out there, is what were the Cubs going to do with Addison Russell? And obviously, in Theo Epstein's statement, he's trying to set him up for a landing spot somewhere else, and I'm sure a team will take a shot. We remember what he was, especially in 2016, some big moments in that playoffs to help the Cubs win a World Series. And he just never lived up to the expectations. And we all know about the issues that came to light ever since. But I want to get your reaction, Cubs fans. What do you think about this? Or is it a nothing? Does it even register? Maybe you already moved on. But I know every time I saw him in a batter's box and he would strike out or he'd hit into an inning-ending double play, or he'd throw to the wrong base, that's the one thing you could always hang your hat on with Russell, that he could play defense. Okay, he can't hit. Well, at the very least, he's in a late-game defensive replacement. and we saw all the mental issues pop up. As a player, it looked like what was going on with Starling Castro at times. Just, what do you think? What are you doing? Mentally, he was not there. Parkins, absolutely right. We talked about that during transition as the news came down. But what is your reaction as a Cubs fan? There are changes coming, and I expected this to be one of the changes, but now it's the Cubs end up making it official. The other big change, well, what are they going to do with the core four? We expect Rizzo to stay. I expect Javier Baez to stay. It's already out that they are having conversations about a long-term contract there. So what do you do with Contreras and Bryant? That's it. That's the other big question. How are you going to add young pitching? Because you've had a lot of problems drafting and developing pitching. And that's why you're strapped for cash as far as the payroll goes. Because you're always paying for it, or you're paying for it with prospects. So I want to get your reaction. Addison Russell, no longer a Cub. He will not be on David Ross's 2020 roster. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Text me 67011 on Twitter at the Joe 0670 at Joe 0670. A lot of football planned for the evening as well. Want to get to this Seahawks Vikings game before they kick at 720. My buddy Evan Silva from Establish the Run joins me at 7. Our very own Bruce Levine at 8 o'clock. By the way, Sox fans, that's some news for you too. James McCann is coming back too. He will be back, even though obviously the Sox made the big addition of Yasmani Grandal. McCann will be paid $5.4 million in his final year of arbitration in 2020. Let's go out to the phone lines. George in River Grove, you're on 670, The Score with Joe Ostrowski.
How are you, Joe?
Hey, George.
You know, my boy Addison, you know, this guy, he's got mental problems that ended up making him useless. You know, he had that look on his face all year, and you know, he's a good ball player, and he's got some skills, and he's got to get past where he is. You know, and so that means he's got to find a new home, new friends, different surroundings, and I have the highest hopes for the guy that he'll be a good ball player down the road. I'm hoping. And what would be really nice, what the Cubs should do, is trade Kyle Schwarber to an American League team where he can be a DH, because at the most critical moment, the ball will find you. And when it does, on your way to the playoffs and trying to get in the World Series, that's going to hurt you. Trade him for some pitching. You were mentioning that they need pitching. Go get some pitching.
All right. Appreciate it, George. As always, 312-644-6767. I don't know that they're going to move Schwarber right now. His value is much higher than it was just a season ago. But if you want to kind of reset this entire organization, I think you're looking towards the top guys. And if you have an inkling that Chris Bryant is not going to return, maybe that's the route you go. I would guess that he would want to test those free agency waters, but we'll find out. I think they were very pleased with what they saw to Kyle Schwarber last season. And the defense, yeah, hurt him at times. It always will. But the news tonight, Addison Russell, no longer a Cub. And I think most of us expected this, but maybe some Cubs fans figured, well, I didn't think he'd be back last time. And it's only $5 million. But the production that you got out of him, if he even comes close to repeating that, $5 million, that's some wasted money. You saw Nico Hoerner up at the end of the season, and I think he'll be an opening day starter. That would be my guess. They made the commitment to utility man David Bodie a little bit, even though he went through his struggles last year. And I'm sure part of it is, yeah, we don't need all the baggage. We can find someone just as good, if not better, than Addison Russell at a much cheaper price tag. So they're selling on Russell. Just the way I look at it, though, is I know what Theo Epstein said in the statement, and they said time and time again about Russell. Well, we're here to support Addison. We're here to support Addison. Okay. So they did that. They kept him around. So why are you moving on? And Theo kept it about money. Because in arbitration process, he's saying, well, what he would have gotten in a contract in that process wasn't in the cards for him. That was not the plan. That's not it. I think we all know that. They're out on Russell, and they've made other plans, and now they don't need him. Now, if there's a Baez injury, they're not in a tough spot. They're going to do something else. They've just completely moved on. But if you're a Cubs fan and you're thinking, okay, they'll deal with all the off-field garbage with Russell if he plays well. How is that not your takeaway right here? I know what the statement said. I get it. So he didn't have a spot on the roster. He was going to make too much money in the arbitration process. But if you're a Cubs fan, even if you were up there booing every time he came to the plate, every time he did something negative in the field, how's your takeaway not? Well, if he played like he did earlier in his career, he's still here. Isn't that quite obvious? He's playing every day, and he's still here, right? There wasn't another incident, as far as we know. 312-644-6767. Palatine, we find Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. How are you doing today?
You got it.
I think everything you just said, you hit right on the head. I think based on Theo's comments and, you know, the support that they gave him the last couple of years, I think they were willing to see that personal improvement for him to, you know, try to regain the talent level that he played at early on in his career. I think at one point he was the third or fourth overall prospect in baseball, over 20 homers and 90 RBIs in that 2016 season, very clutch home runs in the series against the Dodgers, and then obviously nobody will forget the Grand Slam.
Right.
I think that Theo's comments are very true, that they were willing to give him another chance despite his off-field issues. And I think that at the end of the day, they just determined that he wasn't worth the money. and then I'm not exactly sure what their plans will be for the other players that they actually did give tenders. But I like to think that they're giving them the tenders to keep them on the rosters so that they could potentially make trades for who they want to give up and get something in return, as opposed to letting these guys just walk and get nothing. So I figured that's what I wanted to say, and I'll let you take it over from here.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Yeah, the other guys that we're talking about, that they did tender 2020 contracts for, those were automatics. Baez, Bryant, Elmore, Schwarber, Contreras, maybe not Kyle Ryan, but they liked what they saw. It's not a ton of money, so it's probably worth it for them. But most of those automatics. The only question coming into today is what were they going to do with Addison Russell? Stephen Elmhurst, you're on Sports Radio 670, The Score with Joe Ostrowski.
Hey, good evening, Joe. You know, one of the things that not a lot of people have talked about, but last year I had gone to a bunch of early season games, including in Miami and Milwaukee, and the Cubs had gotten on a nice run. You know, they started out a little slow, and then they caught fire, and they were really on a nice run. And then they brought Addison Russell up, and the wheels fell off. And I think they were something like 12 games over 500 at the time. And then they just struggled, and I think he was a distraction. And, you know, obviously he didn't perform well enough. If he'd come up and instead of having just a distraction, he would have provided a lot of help to the offense and the defense and been an all-star type player, he'd still be a member of the team. But he didn't obviously do that, and instead all he was a distraction. And so this move just makes sense to me.
All right, appreciate it. I mean, when you look at his 5 years with the Cubs, ever since 2016, as a 22-year-old, he's regressed every year. It wasn't 1 year of bad. It was actually 1 year of below average and then two more years of bad on top of that. In 2019, he had .237, a career low. His on base is .308. Slugging, .391. OPS plus, .79. In 2018, his OPS plus was .76. That's a baseline. An average OPS plus is .100. That's an average baseball player. He never hit .100 in his career. But when you're in the 90s, when you're close enough to an average hitter, that's okay when you're a gold glove defender. you can get by with that. He didn't win Gold Glove, but I'm just saying, as an example, that was always his strength, his defense. It wasn't that long ago people didn't want to move Addison Russell because he was better at shortstop than at second base, or you weren't sure what you were going to get from him at second base. It was not that long ago. But it's been 2 to 3 years of bad. And why would you think that at age 22, that's when he peaks? That's it. Thought, okay, maybe it's a hiccup here. He'll get back on track. Then everything completely fell apart. But it's not just 1 year of bad. It's been a few years now. If you want to react, Addison Russell, non-tendered by the Cubs, no longer a Cub. 312-644-6767. I'll check in with our guy Bruce Levine coming up at 8 o'clock. The football game's going. We'll be talking some baseball right here on 670 The Score. But coming up next, I want to talk about my takeaways from Thursday's game. God, it feels like so long ago at this point. And we're already looking forward to the Cowboys here, right around the corner. It is kind of a normal work week, just the orders completely messed up as far as the NFL world goes. And then I've got some takeaways from the Bears and where they fit in this NFL and a few interesting things that we saw yesterday. You've got Joe Ostrowski at Sports Radio 670, The Score.
You're listening to The Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Northwestern Basketball hosts number 3 Michigan State at the new Welsh Ryan Arena on December 18th. Tip-off set for 7. Tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at InuSports.com. The news of the evening, I guess, this broke as I was jumping on the air at around 6 o'clock. The Cubs have non-tendered Addison Russell. He will not be on the 2020 club. They would have had to pay him $5.1 million. So now we are down to 9 Cubs remaining from the 2016 World Series roster. The entire bullpen has turned over. Nobody's left there. And let's see. So you remove Russell, left with, for now, I should say. Doesn't mean all these guys will be on the 2020 team. Amora Baez, Bryant Contreras, Hendricks, Hayward, Lester, Rizzo, and Schwarber. I think we're probably going to have 7 or 8. I don't think we'll be stuck with all 9 there. 312-644-6767. Down in Champaign, Caroline, you're on 670 The Score. Hello, Caroline.
Hello. I very much think that the Cubs needed to move on from Addison Russell. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they did. I was very disappointed in the fact that they signed him last year. That they didn't non-tender him last year. And I was also wondering, are the Cubs going to bring back Pedro Strop, do you think?
I'm not sure. He's valuable in that clubhouse, but what we saw at the very end, how much was it injury and how much is Strop just done? I mean, he's had a pretty good career, very underrated career. I think when it's all said and done, especially since he was on that 2016 championship team and had a major role, he's been one of the better relievers in Cubs history. Talk about a trade.
Better.
There.
He's one of the best in Cubs history.
Well, I didn't want to say the best.
One of.
But he's, yeah, one of, definitely. I'd have to look back. It's hard because people will hesitate to say that because he doesn't have all of the saves that many of the great relievers do have. But no, you're right. In this era, we've kind of gotten away from that a little bit. And I always felt bad. He's a great guy. Did a bunch of appearances with him. And if you heard all the stories about that game 7, like he was the guy consoling Chapman. Chapman was gone. They couldn't find him. He was hiding out in the locker room. He was so upset after giving up that home run to the Indians. But yeah, he is one of the best. And unfortunately, with that job, you're only talked about when you give up a game-winning homer or something like that. When you come in and have 10 consecutive scoreless outings, nobody ends up talking about you. But I don't know. I'm guessing he will not be back. That's just my guess. But now the next question is, since the Cubs have moved on from Russell, all right, who's next? Are they really going to make a trade? They made all those hints at the end of the season press conference over an hour long about how they need to change up the lineup. Well, how are you going to change up the lineup? Got to make some changes. Got to move on from some of these guys. So many strikeouts in there. They'd go weeks just having so many games. They're just not scoring enough runs to win games. So how are you going to change that? How are you going to add younger pitching? We'll see if they end up going through with that. Because not promises, but they hinted at that a year ago too. And by the way, Caroline, I agree 100%. It was the correct move, but it was the late move. It was a year too late. They should have done this a while ago with Addison Russell. But why was he here? Because they didn't have someone to fill his role.
Well, there's that, and they banked so much on potential. You've seen it, that they relied on potential for a lot of these guys, and that's why a lot of them have been held on as long as they have been.
Chris Sickens, do you think that Theo, like many executives, has a hard time admitting a failure?
Like many executives in this town? Yeah.
Like Bears and Paxson and Pace and
yeah, of course he's got trouble doing it. And talent outweighs everything. No matter what you've done in your career, when it comes to sports, talent is going to outweigh anything. And so they
well, that's why people kept saying, "Well, the Cubs will be fine. They've got the talent. They've got the you know what? They don't have the talent anymore. They have a talented team, but they're not as talented as much of the National League now."
Exactly. That's it. Their talent is on paper. They're a paper team. You look at them on paper and you're like, that is a hell of a lineup. And then when they get out there, it's a lot of underperforming going on.
I have a texter saying that Russell will have a great year in 2020. Cubs will be very sorry they let him go. That's fine. You've got to be okay with that because I highly doubt that would have happened here.
A change of scenery is never bad for somebody who's struggling like that.
Fine. They had to move on. Actually made their decision before today. We all know that, based on the other moves. And I mean, come on. He couldn't even be used as a defensive replacement at times. When he would come up to the plate in a big spot, forget it. You had no faith that he was going to come through. 312-644-6767. We'll get back to that. Definitely 8 o'clock when Bruce Levine checks in here with Joe Ostrowski. I'm here till 8:45. Rick Campbell, have your Bulls-Kings pregame. Another West Coast game at 8:45. So as I'm watching the entire league, and we get a couple Sundays of this in a row since the Bears play again on Thursday, going up against the Cowboys, a team in a very similar spot in some ways. At least Dallas has a shot for the division. The Bears do not. The famous Bill Parcells quote, as I've been thinking about the Bears ever since that game against the Lions, "You are what your record says you are." That is the 2019 Bears. They are .500 for the first time since that home loss to the Saints, and the scoreboard was pretty kind to the Bears because there were two late touchdowns. Remember that. Trubisky threw them, and the final score, no indication. I believe it was 36-25. Yeah, that was an absolute rout, even though they ended up losing only by 11 games. And I bring up Parcells' comment because now they're .500, right? For the first time since they were 3-3, now they're 6-6. And you think about their wins against Detroit twice recently. Very similar to how this schedule played out last year. Giants, Washington, Denver, Minnesota. Minnesota, good team. One's not like the others, the Vikings. The quarterbacks you've beaten so far this year, Driscoll, Blau, Danny Dimes, my God. Where's the improvement there? Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, and Kirk Cousins. Then the losses, not all good teams, say average teams. Average to, and there are a few good teams in there. Rams, Eagles, Chargers, Saints, Raiders, Packers. Competent quarterbacks. Goff is up and down, usually much better at home. Wasn't great against the Bears. Wentz, very disappointing season, but he's good enough. He's better than Trubisky. Rivers, Carr, Rodgers. Okay, so you can beat the bad teams. And you have trouble with the average to above average teams. Okay. I think there's actually something to be said for that.
and we shouldn't hold that against them. But it's just kind of, you are what your record says you are. You're an average team. Some of the good coaches, well, the great ones, obviously, you start with Bill Belichick, and then you go a tier down, and then you could bring up guys like John Harbaugh, Sean Payton. If you want to put McVay in there, I'm not going to argue with you since he's coming off a Super Bowl appearance. Frank Reich, I think he's a good one. Then the bad ones, who will be fired at the end of the season, guys like Jason Garrett, Freddie Kitchens. I don't know that Vic Fangio will be fired, but he's probably one of the bad coaches if you've watched some Broncos games this year. Dan Quinn, can't believe he still has a job at Atlanta. Shermer with the Giants. Bill Callahan, he's a temporary guy with the Redskins. And we've complained a lot about Matt Nagy this year. And the penalties, which a lot of people put on coaching, and so do I. At times, he's getting out-coached. It feels like most weeks. While he was riding high a year ago in his 12-4 season, Coach of the Year award, I think now you look and it seems like Matt Nagy's an average coach. He's not one of the good ones. He's not one of the bad ones. He's somewhere in that middle. Mitch Trubisky, he can light up the bad defenses. How many times are we going to hear about that Tampa Bay game last year? Detroit twice, Washington once. Crush those horrible defenses. Three touchdown games in each of those three. 9 of his 13 touchdown passes have come against Detroit and Washington. And then he's got 5 games when he didn't throw a touchdown pass, and 2 games he threw 1 touchdown pass. If you really want to simplify the whole thing, the offense has been consistently bad this year. The defense has been really good, not as good as a year ago, as expected. Not forcing as many takeaways. Expected. Dealing with more injuries. Sure, that's going to happen. But the defense overall, really good. I've had my complaints. You've had your complaints. But still, they're one of the best bunches around. Special teams, okay, you have a returner. You still don't have a kicker. They're so average, man. They are so average when you boil everything down. Whether you're talking about the coaching, well, you have one side of the ball, very good. One side of the ball, very bad. And then special teams, well, aspects are good, aspects are bad. Slow starts all year. If you want to be happy over these runs, these wins recently, that's fine. I'm not going to argue that. You take every win in this league. None of them are easy. In fact, I thought they were going to end up losing one of these games they should have won. The 2 Detroit games and the Giants game. I thought they'd somehow find a way to mess it up. Now, did they win convincingly in any of them? No. All one-score wins. They should have won by multiple scores. But hey, a win is a win, and you take that. And now Akeem Hicks is practicing. But my question to you is on this Bears team. 6-6, heading into the toughest stretch of the season, and it isn't even close. Not close. First month, fairly difficult. Had some tough division games. But there was also Washington in there and Denver. Nothing like this. There are 2 teams in the NFL that do not face a below 500 team in the last 4 games. Bears, Titans. The strength of schedule with the remaining opponents is 660. Packers, Vikings, Chiefs, Cowboys this Thursday. Second toughest remaining schedule in the NFL. There isn't an easy one. There's no Lions in there, no Giants, no Redskins. But my question to you, as everything points to me after we have this 12-game sample size, 3 months of the year, 3 quarters, as Lovie Smith would say, are the Bears average, above average, or below average? So as far as I'm concerned, everything points to this team being average. And if they were to split these 4 games, I would actually be impressed. If they finish the year 8-8, based on where they were halfway through the season with a 3-5 record, and if you flip that and go 5-3 the rest of, for the second half, I would be impressed.
especially because it's the tougher part of your schedule. It's that you screwed up your easy part of the schedule.
Road games.
Yeah.
Road division games.
And if you go out in the second half, which is much tougher, and go over 500 in the second half of your schedule,
yeah,
I'll take that.
I actually, this may sound nuts, but I actually would buy into some momentum into next year. And if Trubisky plays like he has over the last month, I think there's reason for some optimism. I mean, the Mahomes-Watson stuff, that's just long gone. What are you going to do? You were wrong in the pick, okay? But can he be a middle-of-the-road starting quarterback? Can you win with him?
Can he be your Joe Flacco?
I take that.
Can he be your Joe Flacco? I mean, that's what you really need. That's what you need out of him is to be a Joe Flacco 2010 or whatever.
And you still bring in competition for next year. And I know McNeil and Parkins were talking about it a little bit. I don't think kicking in that fifth-year option is over. If he plays well this last month, they go 2-2, and he plays well in these four games, I think it's in play still. And that would mean over $24 million for 2021.
I think they've already made up their mind, and it's yes. I don't even think it's in play. I think they've made up their mind, and they've said yes to it already.
Well, Chris, I think they've got a couple games here over the last month. I know they're both Detroit, but it's not like he was horrible against the Rams.
No.
7 points, 7 points, but that's a really good defense.
My issue with this front office is they are not going to look at seasons as a whole. They're going to pick apart and pick certain games to justify their narrative, their decision.
You can actually tie this into Addison Russell a little bit. Very, very different situations. But my point being is for you to move on from a high pick like that, everything you've invested into this guy, you've got to be slapped in the face 15 times. He's not it. He's not it. I don't think they're there right now.
No. Like I said, they justify by certain games. They're going to look – that Tampa game won. That's the first one they're going to look at. Like,
Detroit games, Washington games.
Washington game. They're going to look at him and go, look, there's potential there. There's potential
there.
That's
the ceiling.
That's where he can be.
Right. That's the ceiling.
And you want to know
how do we raise the floor?
Here's the problem with that, though, is these are all man defenses that he was playing against.
I know.
These are all man defenses. When he goes up against zone, he looks lost. He can't read coverages. That's your floor, and that's the problem.
And there were some positives. I know. Everything goes back to they were the Lions. They're going to lion. And they did lion for you. And ended up in a Bears victory. But how do you not bring up that was his first career late fourth quarter game-winning touchdown drive on a national stage. Bad defense? Yeah. Yeah, it was. But then how do you also not look and say, hey, Anthony Miller, that's what they've needed the entire year. That guy can be your second receiver in a decent offense.
Also, on the game on Thanksgiving, wasn't that his first 300-yard game? Mitch, wasn't that his first 300-yard passing game this season?
I know it was the first game. You might be right. I'll have to double-check. But I know it was the first game when the Bears scored over 20 points and they had over 300 yards of offense. That hasn't happened a whole lot this season. There are positive things to look at. But what are you going to do in the last month? Not all great defenses. That's why some people say, I don't know how far the Chiefs can go. Yeah, they have that great offense, but they can't stop anybody.
Yeah, it was his first 300-yard passing game this year.
Okay. I think you could look at that a couple ways because they needed him to go over 300 yards because a guy named David Blau came in and had 150 yards and two touchdowns before people had the game on their TV. Was it before noon he did all that?
It was first or second by the middle
first
of the second.
First two drives. Yeah. He had two touchdown drives. Like his first pass of his NFL career is going all the way for six. I'm like, what? What is happening?
And that was the worry about facing him too is you didn't know what this guy was and he looked better than Mitch had all season.
For two drives. Well, the Washington game, that's what I was talking about with Mitch. For the most part this year, it's been the great third quarters. The Washington game was about the great second quarter. It's like put an entire game together.
You play one good quarter a game, you're not going to win many games.
I keep saying it. You're three. just going to pick about these certain moments. It's got to be more than moments. Play an entire game.
And that, but then you're going to have these people texting in going, well, it's the second year of the offense, though, Joe. The second year that he's in this offense.
I think people are done with the excuses. But, hey, I don't have anything to criticize Mitch for this past week. Now, what I'll also say about Matt Nagy is we've complained after some victories about the play calling. I don't think we have much to complain about with that game. Did what they had to do to win a game. And that's all I've asked out of Matt Nagy. And it was all set up for them. They didn't have QB1, didn't have QB2. They had QB3. People were laughing when it came out on Wednesday night that this guy was going to be the starting quarterback the next morning. And they didn't have Snacks Harrison. You had to run the ball. And what do you know? It really opened things up for the Bears offense. So at 6-6, the record says they're average. Are they average? Average, below average, or above average? I'm telling you, if they go 2-2 in these final four games, I know some people out there are hoping, hey, just extend the season for one. That would make my life a lot easier. And we actually have almost an entire football season. Because it's the worst when you have December football and it's completely done. I don't want to have the conversation about Akiem Hicks. Well, they lost to the Cowboys, so now if you want to sit him, even though he's healthy enough to go, it kind of makes some sense. You can make an argument out of that. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. We'll branch out to the rest of the NFL in 15 minutes with Evan Silva from Establish the Run. Joe Ostrowski with you on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Joe Ostrowski here on 670, The Score, to 845. Then we go to Bulls Kings pregame with my guy Rick Camp. He's got your pre and post. A West Coast game, Bulls and Sacramento Kings. Can't wait to see what Jim Boylan has to say after tonight, especially if the Bulls end up losing this one. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. At least the Bears can beat the bad teams. You're not the Philadelphia Eagles losing straight up to the Dolphins. You're not the Carolina Panthers losing straight up to Washington. Boy, it seems like Ron Rivera's definitely out in Carolina now. Every year, it never disappoints. You're going to find 7 to 8 head coaches that'll launch. I think we could name 6 today, and one's an interim. Looking for the next guy. A year ago, Matt Nagy's a genius. This year, I think it's been proven. He's just about an average coach. And even as I say, I didn't have too much as far as the play calling to complain about. Sure, you can find a few things. And I know you guys are more than willing to do that. Now we're going to have a perfect game. That's not going to happen. But how did he get by last year? A lot of it was the trick plays. But some of the in-game decision-making, I wonder going into 2020 if he's going to be calling plays once again. Especially if things continue this route. Now, if they start scoring more than 20 points on a regular basis in the final month of the season, and they go 2-2, Trubisky looks good, maybe he will continue to call plays. But they've got to have some real conversations about this. I mean, they are near the bottom, every offensive category. And we know why he was brought into town. It isn't all just on Trubisky. It isn't all on personnel. And most Monday he said, yeah, that was a horrible play call right there. Some of it makes no sense. You lose that game on Thursday, just how the narrative flips. We're focused on Trubisky deciding not to go for the first down, and we're focused on that Slay interception. But instead, we're talking about after that interception, how he completed 10 of 11 passes. Let's check in Tony on the south side. You're now on 670, The Score. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Joe. Well, you asked the question, did I think they were above average or below average? Last year at this point, they were above average. This year, they're below average. And ironically, they have the same questions going into the offseason. Last year, they're the same questions that they're going to have this year going in.
Don't they have more?
What's that?
Don't they have more questions?
I don't think so, because I think you knew that the defense was good, but you still don't know what Leonard Floyd is, if he's ever going to be anything more than average. You knew your offensive line was a problem, but you didn't know what was the problem. You knew you had to give time to Trubisky to develop, but you didn't know if he was going to be that guy because he didn't show flashes. Last year, Nagy still had head-scratching play calls and stuff like that. So I think, and your kicker. I mean, that's
it's all the same. The offseason is going to be a repeat, maybe just not the clown show with the kickers.
Right? I mean, is it not the – it's the same song and dance year in and year out from these guys. It's, do we have enough? Do we know enough? And when you say what the problem is, like you said, there is so much stuff that goes down on Trubisky's back that you can't call him. I mean, they lead the league, or at least first or second, in drop passes. They do stupid things like on third and one, line up four receivers in a backfield instead of powering it ahead. You know, you don't sign backup players. I mean, how many years did we complain they didn't draft a quarterback or they didn't draft offensive linemen? You know, and now the word is that Pace was out looking at the Michigan-Ohio State game.
Right, right.
You're looking at defensive players. I mean, I don't know what it is you're doing. You made some good calls with Roquan, but there are so many other ones where you say, this is the same song and dance as it was last year.
He can look all he wants, but the facts are that he has two picks in the first four rounds right now. So he can keep looking at all the defensive players that he wants. He traded away all those picks. 312-644-6767. Let's bring in my buddy Evan Silva, get his take on the Bears and also what we saw around the league yesterday. I'm starting to wonder, man. There are a bunch of teams that can probably take out the Patriots. I don't think anybody was saying that before the season started. We'll get Evan's take next. Joe O Show, Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.